open your Bibles to 1 John. If you don't have a Bible, let myself or Pastor Gary and Mark, I think they're outside cooking. And so, but I just want to encourage you. 1 John. Chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Okay, because that's what we're going to be starting. We go through the Bible verse by verse. And somebody that we were ministering to asked me this last week, like, why do you guys go through, they were in Bible college, and they said, why do you go through the Bible? And the reason is because Paul, and it just occurs to me that a lot of people don't even, this doesn't even cross their minds. Not in a mean way. It was a wonderful young man. Love this guy. And it's so easy to skip the most important thing. And when we talk about the Bible, we're talking about the Word of God. And we're going to have food afterwards. You need food for life and for energy, right? In that same way, we need the Word of God for life and energy, don't we? Okay? So we talked about last week, in the book of 1 John, chapter 4, we went through verses 1 to 6. We go through the whole counsel of God so you know what it says. And here's the reason why. The Bible says the Holy Spirit, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly, this is in 1 Timothy 4:1, that in the last times or the last days, which I kind of think we're living in, some or many will turn away from the faith and they will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. And you know what? It'll be what people's itching ears want to hear, and it'll be what they want to hear, but not what they need to hear. And it'll be a bondage for them. It'll be a chain that binds them. It's terrible. And so we want to know what the Word of God says for ourselves. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 6 says, hey, he's saying, Christians, I want you to test the Spirit, because not every spirit is from God. Right? Isn't that true? So there's the Holy Spirit that gives us truth. There's our fleshly spirit that wants to do what we want when we want it. Isn't that correct? And then we've got these demonic spirits that are whispering stuff in our minds. They don't like you. They don't care about you. You don't need to listen to the Word. Do what you want. Listen to this teaching, that teaching. Do it. Be selfish about it. And we don't want that. And you remember we talked about this. This is what helps us, okay? If you remember this scripture picture from last week, Chris, I'm going to ask you to hit the lights just for these next two pictures, because I want you to see the darkness. This is what I feel is happening in our world today like never before, okay? And even in the churches, okay? And the Bible says this in Romans chapter 12. This little picture is, we call them scripture pictures. And if you're here at this church or you watch us online, you contact us and we'll send these to you every day just to encourage you, to remind you of what's true and good and praiseworthy and lovely. Now, sometimes I send out these to friends and family, you know, maybe once a week or something like that. But to this body, I send them out almost every day, so we can be reminded. Come on in, guys. Have a seat. You're good. So the Bible says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world or the mold or the fit or the direction. But instead, God says, I want you to be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind as you hit the Word of God, as you're getting it into your head, as you're getting it into your heart, as you're listening to it, absorbing it, and applying it to your life. Holy schmolies, things start to change. Your mind starts to renew. Your thinking, it goes into different directions. Then, the Bible says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. If you don't get this word from here into here and down to your heart, then you know what? You're not going to know what God's will is. And you're going to be going this way, that way, every wind of doctrine. We need to be rooted in the Word. We talked about also last week in 1 John, so important. If you missed last week's teaching, you need to go to our YouTube channel. I would even say almost critical that you listen to last Sunday's teaching. Because we talked about this, well, not exactly this. This is Victor Vescovo. He dove in the Titan submarine. 4-inch thick, specially engineered sub right to the bottom of the Marianas Trench, deepest place, 7 miles underwater, where the pressure is so great, it's 15,000 pounds of pressure every square inch. It's unfathomable, huh? See what I did there? Fathomable. Anybody? No. Anyway, the point is, right? Okay. But also, we talked about that there's a fish down there called the snailfish. That literally, I could just put my finger right through it, and it swims fine with 15,000 pounds of square, a PSI, swims around fine. And it's because the pressure inside that fish, it's especially designed somehow on the inside by God to be able to swim freely in that environment. Freely. In that same way, we went over, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. See, if you have the Holy Spirit, make the correlation, you have a greater power in you, and you can withstand anything and everything this world has to offer. Does that make sense? But you can only do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. So please, listen to last week's teaching. Now, as we move on, 1 John is a book of tests. Okay, tests, you say? I hate tests. I'm in school. Tests are, yeah. So, but 1 John is a book of tests. And what it is to see where we're at in our faith. Hey, is it real? Do we just go to church or youth group or whatever? Listen, I'm a Christian born in America, or are we really saved? Do we know the Lord? And so 1 John is a book of tests. And if I could ask you to hit the light just for a second, because I made this in a dark font and I probably shouldn't have done that. So we've gone through the fellowship test in 1 John chapter 1, where if we're walking with Jesus and we're really walking with him and talking with him, then you know what? We're going to have a joy in our heart that goes beyond circumstances. It's going to lead to a pure life. It's going to lead to an obedient life, which is the next test that he gave us. It's going to, and that obedient life in 1 John, it had some hard words for us. You know, somebody visited our church last week, and they said, well, if they come back after that message, it'll only be the Lord. And you know what? Sometimes that's the truth. But the truth can encourage us, or can equip us, or can sometimes convict us. We have to be open to everything, right? Don't we? So the obedience test, we saw in 1 John chapter 2, where he said, hey, or maybe it was later in verse 1 or 2. Anyway. It says that anyone who says, I know Jesus, but doesn't do what he commands is a liar. Man, that's a little harsh, eh? And it says, and the truth is not in him or her. It gave us a doctrinal test because there's many antichrists that have gone out. Okay, not just there's one that's coming, but there's a lot that have the spirit of antichrist. And it's going out and it's becoming more prevalent from Jesus' day all the way till now. There's a discernment test. We just read it in 1 John chapter 4, where it says you got to test the spirits, dude, and do that. We have to test the spirits. And then there's the love test. We've gone over it 3 times with this love test. Now, it's not that the Holy Spirit is running out of things to say. Do you know what I'm saying? It needs a filler. It's that there's a deeper level to what he's trying to say. So what he said in 1 John chapter 2, there was a love test that said, hey, do not love the world or the things of the world. In fact, the world's trying to almost like bait the hook for you, like a little fish. You guys fish, right? He's trying to reel you in. God says, don't love the world or the things of the world. The lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Man, that's from the enemy. It's not, and it says, but the one who does the will of God is going to live forever. If you love the world, it says the love of the Father is not in you. So don't agape the world. Don't embrace its culture, its teachings. You go with what the Lord says, okay? So that was the first love test. Convicting, but we need to hear it. The second love test was in chapter 3, where it said, hey, we need to love our brothers and sisters. You say you love God and hate your brother, it's like you're walking around with a blindfold on. You can't see anything, because love from God is going to help us to love our brothers and sisters. And then there's this third test here in chapter 4. Okay, here we go. In chapter 4, we're going to go through verses 7 and 8, but 7 through 16. Okay? So hear me in Jesus' name. We're going to go through this love test, what God is in verse 7 and 8, what God did in verses 9 through 11, and what God is doing, verses 12 to 16. Now, why is love so important? We have a couple of boys who I love dearly and at the school, and they've taken some piloting lessons. They can fly a plane. And so when they fly planes, or they've been taught to fly planes, they're taught to use, not to rely always on our senses, right? Because sometimes they can lie, but to use the instruments. And one of the instruments they use is a compass. Everybody knows, right? Everybody knows what a compass is, right? Okay, good. Okay. So we all use a compass. Now, you use it for navigation because it tells you, it shows you the direction that you're going. A compass, for those of you who don't know, always points north because it responds to the natural nature of the magnetic field in the earth. In that same way, okay, so it is with Christian love. The nature of God is love. And we've said it before, we're going to say it again. The nature of God is love, okay? So a person who really knows God and has been born of God is going to respond to God's nature, pointing them in the direction to love one another. Does that make sense? It's going to, if you're really saved, if you're born again, your heart, God's Holy Spirit is going to point you, because you know what God's done for you. You know what a wretch you are, what a sinner you are, don't you? If you don't, talk to me, because let me tell you are and so am I without the Lord. And it's going to point you to love others because you're doing it on his sake, for his sake. In fact, check this out, all right? This is biblical. 1 Corinthians, ready? 16:14 says, this is by the Holy Spirit speaking to Christians. He says, do a couple of things in love. What? Do all things, or do everything in love. That means when you're disciplining your kids, we can all make mistakes, right? Don't do it in anger. If so, apologize. Ask for forgiveness. You discipline in love. That means in everything you do. Okay, can I tell you a little personal story? Okay, this one, usually when I tell personal stories, my wife goes, oh no, because I always tell on myself. And they're like, people are going to think you're, but I want to be honest. So this is a personal story where, hey, I get to be the hero. So it's kind of a nice one, okay? So I called and I made a telephone call. Thank you, Chris. I called, it was for a doctor's appointment. And if you're here in this audience, I'm so glad you're here. I don't know. But I called and the person on the phone was short. Was very short when they got on the phone. You can tell they were PO'd. They were mad. They were angry, okay? And I'm like, okay. And so I'm talking to them. Now, my first reaction is like, dude, I'm the sick person trying to call for the doctor. The least you can do is be halfway pleasant. But that wouldn't have been a godly, loving response, would it? Okay. Well, I serve a higher king, a higher master. I'm like, you know what? Okay. And so I was just patient, and I was kind. And I'm like, let me put you on hold. No problem. I'll wait. Well, okay, and I just need this. And by the end of the conversation, you know, we were just talking. I said, you know what? I just want to say thank you, you know, for taking care of everything. And she had kind of worked through that anger that over the time. And you know what? She just totally opened up. She's like, you know what? Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being kind to me. Thank you so much for being loving to me. She's like, you know what? I'll just be honest. The last person that I just talked to was so mean and said such terrible things to me. He's like, I just want to tell you, I was ready to get up and walk out of this doctor's office forever. I was going to get out of here. I couldn't take it anymore. And I feel so much better now that I've talked to you. And I thought, oh my God, thank you, Lord. Now, if I were to respond how my flesh wants or how the enemy wants, let me tell you, bye-bye, she would have went. But thank God in this case, I decided to do in how we respond. Okay? Now, does that mean you're going to get it right 100% of the time? No. Does that mean that people won't sometimes misinterpret what you're doing? I get that all the time. You must mean this, and you meant that. No. Yeah, you did. Don't tell me. I just let it go. Whatever. You can think what you want. I'm still going to love. This is, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. Now, in the Bible, if I were to say, what's the love chapter in the Bible? If I were to say, though, what's the love chapter in the Bible, what would come to your mind? Excellent. You guys are so biblically sound. I agree. I agree. Right? Okay, so 1 Corinthians 13, most people know as the love chapter, right? There's a total of 14 verses, and everybody knows. Now, and it's what's interesting, hit the lights again for a second, I know it's this is the fonts I used. When it talks about love, and it's talking about the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about, oddly enough, all this love is going out to others. It says, okay, it starts off with things to do, which is the heart, we outwardly do, and things not to do, okay? Right? And it says, here, Christian, I want you to be, love is patient. And the word is agape. It means unconditional. Love is patient. It's kind. And then it doesn't envy. It's not jealous of other people. It's not boasting. It's not arrogant or rude. Ladies, guys, see, some of you were like, oh, he's trying out the ladies. You're all ready to judge. Oh, he's talking about both of you. Listen, love does not insist on your own way. Do you always got to get your way? Do you got to control every little situation? Love does not demand its own way. Love isn't irritable or resentful. Interesting. Love doesn't rejoice in evil, the Bible says. But love does rejoice in truth. Right here, the Word of God. True things. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Isn't that awesome? But listen to this. When we're talking about that love, that agape love, in what everybody knows is the love chapter, love is, this kind of agape love is mentioned 8 times in the entire chapter. 13. Okay? Not just these verses, in the whole chapter. Now, in this rest of 1 John 7 to 21, this agape love, or agape like receiving love or loving others, is mentioned 27 times just in these few verses. Honestly, this is the chapter of love. 1 John chapter 4, 8 times versus 27 times. See the difference? So as we look in our Bibles, 1 John chapter 4, we'll start with verse 7 and 8. Open your Bibles. Keep your Bibles open. Don't just sit there. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one under your seat. Or if again, we'll buy one for you, but everybody needs to have a Bible if you come here, and it needs to be open. Okay? Because you don't know. You want to check out what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? You want to check out what's being said. Don't just listen to people. Right? Thank you. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just encouraging you. So here's what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. All right? It's in the back of your Bible. He starts off. I'll just read the verse, then we'll go. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Sorry, now I got the tune in my head. Now, the first thing I'm going to talk about is this. My translation says, dear friends. Now, that's nice, but it's not accurate. Okay? Now, I love my NIV. I love my New Living Translation. But this is not what the actual Greek word says. The actual Greek word here is agapetos. Now, you say, oh, pastor, who cares? I'm going to get to that. You will care. So just be patient with me. Wow, you guys are so judgy. So listen. So agapetos, again, agape love. There's different kind of loves in the Bible. Agape love is unconditional. It's lavish love. It's a beautiful. It's I want nothing in return love. Does that make sense? So he's saying agapetos here, which really means beloved. Okay? It means esteemed. It means dearly loved. You know what it means? Favorite. You ever have your kids, who's the favorite? You know what I mean? You're all my favorites. God is saying, hey, listen, beloved, favorite, worthy of love. It's talking about love from God. He's saying that to you. He's saying beloved to you, not just to your friends, beloved. Now, why is that important? Because it's the same exact word. Hear this. It's the same exact word that he used when Jesus came up to John the Baptist. He was baptizing people in the Jordan River. They were repenting. They were turning away from their sins and to Jesus and to the Messiah, to God. Actually, to God at the time. But you know what I'm saying. And so he saw Jesus coming, the Messiah, and he said, I'm not even worthy to untie your sandals, and you're coming to me to be baptized? And he said, you know what? This is the Darren paraphrase version. He said, you know what, John the B? He said, this has to be done so that scripture can be fulfilled. So he got baptized, right? And as that happened, right, like we're going to have some people are getting baptized. I'm so excited about that in Jesus' name. And so what happens is when he went underwater and he came up, he said there was a voice from the heavens open. There was a voice from heaven saying, hey, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Do you know what that word is? It's the same one, agapetos. Why does that matter? Because as the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today, okay, with all your faults, with all your foibles, with all your, right, messed up junk that we come with, that we all come with, not just you, right? He says, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he calls you the same name that he called his only begotten son. And he says, beloved. Now, that should, mind blown, right? He loves you that much. So that's why it's important. So it says, beloved. Then it goes on to say, let us love one another, for love comes from God. So the first part, beloved, is love from God. I love you so much, kid. You're my favorite. You're my whatever you want to say, esteemed, beloved, man. Because I love you so much, he says, now I want you to love one another. Because love comes from God. So you're receiving the love, right? You're beloved, you're his favorite, whatever. Because you're receiving that love, he's like, now I want you to give that love. It should radiate from you. I'm going to ask you to hit the lights again. I know I ask you to keep the lights on all the time. But okay, so here's my little funkadelic scripture picture slide, but it was kind of cool. So now, okay, here you go. It's supposed to radiate from you. Now, that doesn't happen naturally, does it? Can I tell you what? Naturally, I'm a self-centered pig. I'm not a very loving person. I might want, before I got saved, I wanted everybody, I would lie, use you, but I'd want you to think I was a loving person. Now I'm just the opposite. I still want you. But it's from the heart. It overflows. Because I know God loves me and I want to share that love with you. Right? I do. So it should radiate out from you and me. And if not, then we need to get with our Lord and say, Lord, will you help me? I'm hardened my heart. But it should be like this. Now, if you want to do something really funky, just do this with your eyes. Just go back and forth. And it looks like it's moving. But that love radiate out from you. Right? He's saying, because I love you so much, I want you to realize that. And I want you to purposely choose to love one another. And I need you to do it. I need you to do it by calling on the Holy Spirit, saying, help me, Lord. I want you to change this hard heart of mine. I don't trust anybody. I don't like anybody. I want you to make me a loving person. I want you to love my husband again, love my wife again, love my kids again, love my friends again. I want you to love with a sacrificial love again. And he'll do that. Love one another. All right, thanks. It says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been, that means agape love, right? Unconditionally. Because you know what? There's a lot of people who love to get something in return, right? Oh, I'll love you, do all these nice stuff, but I want something back. This kind of agape love that we're talking about here is I'm giving it in Jesus' name. What you do with it is your own biz. So everyone who loves with God's love has been born of God and knows God. Listen, the reason this scripture picture, I don't know if you can see it very good. This is the Bible here, right? This scripture picture from this verse. And I've got a heart here with all the words of scripture. So let me tell you something. From the beginning to end, not just the New Testament, from the beginning to end, God is showing a love for us. From the beginning, when we rejected him in the garden, right? Sinned against him. One rule. We had one rule. And it was like, nah, I'm not going to listen to the one rule. We're all rebellious, right? Through the Israelites, they screwed up so many times. Yeah, man, if I was God, let me tell you, we wouldn't be here today. Everybody be toast already. To Jesus, to now. It's in the shape of a heart. It's all here. Everyone who loves has been born of God, born again of the Spirit, born anew, however you want to say it, a spiritual birth, and knows God. Now, this word knows is a word called gnosko. It means to know by experience, okay? And so everyone who has been born of God, okay? Everyone who loves and has been born of God and knows God, okay? So, and knowing is important, okay? 1 John 3:14 says this. This is God's word speaking to us, to you, to me. We know that we have passed from death to life because we what? Have a lot of Bible knowledge? Because we go to church? Because we go to youth group? Because we have Christian parents? Because I got a bumper sticker on my car? Because you got a Christian t-shirt? Because you got a cross? I pointed at you, you don't have a cross. Because you got a cross. You get the idea. Oh, you got a cross. Okay, you get the double. So you're extra spiritual. In fact, you got the leather-bound Bible. So really, you are over the top. But you know what? In God's economy, all that means. Here's what he says. We know we've passed from death to life because we agape each other. Anyone who does not love remains in what? What does it say? Spiritual death, right. That's the litmus test for us. Are we loving one another? With the self-sacrificial love, wanting nothing back. Well, I'll be nice to him if he's nice to me. No, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, I want you to be nice to them because I'm so nice to you. Does that make sense? And it's a fruit because you know what the Bible says is a fruit of the Spirit? Is the fruit of the Spirit? You know what it says? Love. It's the fruit. We live in Florida. What's the Groves right around the corner? Brain fart. Midway, what? Mixon. If you went by Mixon Groves, you would see a trees there, and you could tell very clearly that there are orange trees because there's what growing on them?
Peaches.
Peaches. Right, both of you. So because there's oranges growing on the tree, it's very clear what it is, right? So God is saying, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, okay, here's the main thing, that you're loving one another. If there's something there blocking it, something's wrong. Okay, it says in the next verse in your Bible, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, he goes on to say, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is everything that he is comes from that. I like what Chuck Swindoll said. This is kind of a harsh thing to hear, but it's the truth. Listen, I like what Chuck Swindoll said. He's a famous preacher, teacher of God's word. He says, if a hose is connected to a supply of water, water will flow through the hose. If a wire is connected to an electrical source, he says, power will flow through the wire. If a branch of a tree is connected to the root and trunk system, the sap of the tree will flow through the branch. Then he goes on to say, if a man or woman is truly connected to the loving Father through the Son, Jesus Christ, by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the love of God will flow through his or her life towards others. Has to happen. Okay? And when it says God is love, I have to say this too, because, well, Pastor, God is love, so I don't think that there's a hell. And if God is love, I don't think that we ever can be disciplined. If God is love, then we should never go through a trial. If God is love, then I'll never have a bad day. Sinful. No, listen, it says God is love, but God, it's not the only thing he is, right? You know what I'm saying? It says that God is holy. He's God is wise. God is merciful. God is gracious. It says that God is sovereign. He is almighty. There's a lot of things that God is, okay? So all these things, he is loving, but he's also a holy God, right? He can't accept sin. So it says a lot of things about him, but it does say that he is love. So everything flows from that, even the discipline. It says in 1 John 1:5 that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. It says in John chapter 4, verse 24, that God is spirit and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It says in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, this. It says that our God is a what? Consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. Now, I need your help for a second, if you've drifted. Okay, I made two slides. I send them out. Okay, there's this one. I just need you to tell me which one you like better. One or two? I try to be cool with number two. One. Okay, I hear you. Fair enough. Okay, I also want to let you know. Oh, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. I go back here. Okay, I want to tell you. Do you know who made this lion? Neely made it. If you remember it from our Book of Daniel study. Isn't that cool? Yes. She is amazing. Is there nothing she cannot do? Our God is a consuming fire. Thank you for letting us know she was human, because I wasn't sure. Yes, that's true. Yes. Thanks. We'll kick her while she's down. It goes on to say. Yeah. There you go. That'll teach you to be snarky with me. It goes on to say, listen, in verse 9, everybody, look at your Bibles. It says in verse 9, read it with me. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, God isn't just all about talk, right? Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, right? He's about the walk. He demonstrates his love towards us by actions, right? It's not just talk. If I told my wife, or if my wife told me, I'll reverse it, okay? Oh, this way you get in trouble with it. But anyway, I thought I was doing the right. Anyway, if she told me, I love you. Oh, honey, I love you. 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 But then went out and dated other guys all the time. Would you say that she could say, oh, honey, I love you from the bottom of my heart. You're the only one. If she's doing that all the time, what does her action speak? She doesn't love me very much at all, does she? Right? So listen, God is backing up his words with action. He's demonstrating it. In fact, guys, listen, God demonstrated his love for you. He showed it, just like we read here. He showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still yet sinners. That's Romans chapter 5, verse 8, right? Yeah. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. He showed it to us. He's not just about words. Listen, do you know? I didn't get saved. I grew up in church. I wasn't saved. I didn't get saved till I hit about 30. Almost 30. 20-something, upper 20s. I wasn't really saved. I was just a religious guy. I was a moral guy. I never really committed my life to Jesus. But he showed his great love and patience and kindness. He didn't strike me down. Do you know? Everybody's like, oh, you're such a great pastor. You teach us so. You really encourage us in the Lord. Do you know? I used to talk people out of the Bible. What? I thought you were such a great guy. I used to manipulate people, lie to people continually. That was what was naturally coming out of me. Yuck. But he showed his great love for me. While I was yet a sinner, he was just waiting. Come home whenever you want, son. I love you. Open arms. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your soul, he said. Now, can I tell you something? I'm going to ask you to hit the lights for this one. You didn't know you'd have to work so much today, Chris. Now, this, to me, this scripture, I want you to think about it. He showed his love for you. So listen, if you haven't committed your life to Jesus Christ yet, and I'm not saying some words when you said when you were seven. I mean, you'll see it in your actions in your life, right? If you haven't done that, okay, here we go. You know he's demonstrated, he's showing you his love, okay? But he still is reaching out to you, even now. But here's what I find, and I don't mean this to be mean, okay? Here's kind of my impression of most of the world today. And I'm not saying this in a judgy way. I'm saying this in a heartbroken way. Here's my scripture picture. I'm going to change the tone a bit. Here's my scripture picture. Okay? Ready? You remember this scripture, and I'm just going to change the setting. Here we are. Modern day. God demonstrated his love for, yeah, whatever. Uh-huh. Yep, showed his love for me while I was still a sinner. Yeah. Anyway, hey, selfie with Jesus. We laugh because you know it's true. He showed his great love. Whatever, next meme. Now listen, don't look at everybody on their phone. Some are using their... Who's on their phone? Sinner. No, don't look at, because they might have the Bible open and maybe they're paying more attention than you or they're looking up something and you know about that. But you know what? I've had folks, they're playing games in church. I'm thinking the Word of God's being, and they're just playing, they're Googling, they're texting, they're whatever. He showed his great love for you while you were still a sinner. Think about it. We serve a giving God. He's giving all. Listen, I love you guys, but if some of you I know better, some of the others, or somebody I don't really know, and they said, hey, you know what? I'd like you just to give up your sons for me. See, I'm going to torture them, mock them, beat them, and then kill them in a horrific way. And then let alone the weight of the sin of the world. I'd be like, time out. Yet, listen, folks. God so loved the world, and you can put your name in there. He so loved you that he gave, he showed, he demonstrated, gave his one and only son that whoever would believe in him. So just so if you wanted to come to him, you could. And you could have everlasting life. That's John 3:16. Wow. Huh? And it says in 1 John that we might, and then verse 9 in our Bibles, that we might live through him. And listen, that's what he wants you to do. You're not here to get a fire insurance policy. Yep, don't want to go to hell. Where do I sign? And to live however I want. Woohoo! That kind of shows the wrong heart, you think? See, the Bible says were to live for him. In fact, this is Romans chapter 14, 8. And I thought it was a great scripture picture because it says, if we live, it's to honor the Lord. If we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. See, our life brings light and life powered by the Holy Spirit to others. Fruit in others that they can see and pick and eat and live. Does that make sense? You're not just here to sit and take up a space. You're to be living and sharing and working on that relationship with him. And how can I get to know him better? And how can I serve him more? And man, wow, cool. You get it? Okay, this is normally where I'd ask Pastor Gary how long I've been teaching, but he's out cooking. That means absolutely nothing to me. 30 minutes, okay. So I got a little bit of time. You know what? Sometimes people say, people can only listen for 20 minutes. You know what? I say, bleh! That's because they're conditioned to only listen to 20 minutes. We want, God has so much for us. Let's open our ears and heart. Now, there is a question, so I'm going to give you the microphone. We do allow questions here, and I do appreciate them. So if I can answer it, I will. If I can't, then I'll say, yeah, pretty much.
I'm not gonna heckle him.
Nothing fancy.
Is this on? Okay.
Yes, it is, sir. Ma'am.
So the verse that says, everyone who loves has been born of God.
Yes.
And knows God.
Yes.
So they're listed as two separate things. And yes. The next verse says, whoever does not love does not know God because God is love. Yeah. So can someone be born again and not know God? Because I struggle with what it means to know God.
Yes. Okay. If I understood you, can somebody be born again and not know God? The answer is no. No. Now, you might not know him fully, right? Hold on, let me think about that question. Okay. Yes and no. Okay. Sometimes it's not that easy. Listen, when I got saved, I thought I knew a lot, but I didn't really know. I was going to say, oh, I better not say that. My wife will get mad at me. I didn't know very much. I thought I did. I grew up in Christian schools, right? But they didn't really teach the word. I knew some stories. I thought I knew everything, right? I didn't really know. But so when I received him, I'm like, oh God, I remember it. There was a fight going on for my soul. Part of me is like, this is all a show. This isn't true. And then there's another part, you need to get out of here. I almost ran from this church service. I almost literally ran out the back door. I was sweating. I was like, oh my gosh, the Holy Spirit was so on me. And then there's another part of me going, you know, this is the truth. I'm calling you today. If you don't harden your voice right now. And so what happened was I went up. This is embarrassing to say. I went up to the altar. I went up cursing. I was going, I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm like, okay, God, if this is really you and you're really like, and this is the truth, I'm giving you my heart. I'm giving as much as I know how. I don't know everything. I don't know all, but if you are true, if this is real, I'm giving you my life and my heart as best as I know how, right? And then he started making the changes. And that's how I know that fruit was born in the tree over the years to come. There was more hunger. I started desiring to know him more. Hunger for his word. Hunger to know him. I wanted to, it just kind of came. So you don't have to know everything, okay? That kind of can come in time as he renews our hearts and minds. But we do have to have some sort of knowing of who he is to get saved. Or we would never come to him in the first place. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, that's a great question, by the way. Does that make sense, everybody? Yes. If not, see me afterwards, and I'll try to make it a little clearer. Anybody have any comments? Okay. Oh, great. we've got to be open here. Okay.
So to compliment, we took that experiencing God course,
yes.
All right? And from that time on, my love for God has just started to grow.
I know.
Because
I've seen it.
Like things that you take, you know, for granted, you just start realizing this gets better and better, doesn't it?
Yes. And you know what? Maybe we'll do another one more in the back. Chris, would you mind running it? See, you got the mics now. I got to make you work. Way in the back. And what we're going to do, you don't need to spin it around, Jay. AJ, you can just keep it on me. Thanks. Thanks. So what we can do is maybe we'll start another Experiencing God course. That has helped so many people get to know him relationally. If you guys want to do that, it's not an easy course. There's a lot of work involved, but I guarantee you will come to learn to hear his voice like never before. John, can you hear in the back? Is it on?
It's on.
Yep, you're on, buddy.
So for quite some time, growing up as a kid, I used to wear a cross. But at one point, I had to carry it.
Yeah. There's a difference, isn't there, John, between it being a decoration?
Yes.
Than it being a representation of who you are. The Bible says if anyone wants to come to me, Jesus says the first thing you have to do is to deny yourself what you want. Take up your cross and follow me. It's a good word. Oh, there's another one. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, great. There's another one. I really do enjoy this. It's just a little sweaty, you know. Okay. All right. Lester, you got an X. Go. Hey, you were supposed to come up here. I just remembered that now. Sorry. Yeah.
In chapter 2, yes. Remember they talk about little children? I write unto you, little children?
Yes.
And also he says, I write unto you, Father.
Yes.
I mean, like, hey, a baby Christian.
Yes.
He doesn't, all right, he knows his Father.
Right. Yes.
He recognizes his voice, yes. His touch, and so forth.
I just know Daddy loves me.
Exactly. But we grow in that.
Yes.
So when we become fathers in the faith.
Young men and then fathers.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, good word. Oh, that was good. Why didn't I think of that? That was a good one. Great job. Oh, yeah, you can applaud him. Fine. Nobody applauds me. Whatever. It's a great job. Thank you. We allow the Holy Spirit to move, so if the Lord's putting on something on your heart, you're welcome to share it. And thank God. Isn't it great when we do that?
Yes.
Sometimes it may be not, but most of the time it is. So it goes on in the next verse. I'm not going to make it through all these verses, am I? So we're going to have to change the title. 15 minutes. All right. And we're off. Okay, so it says, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So it's really, you know what? We didn't love God first. It's not like, oh, they love me so much, now I'm going to love them. No, it was like a karma thing. It was like, I just totally love these guys because I love them. I have mercy. It was him who loved us first. We respond to his love. And it says, when it says atoning sacrifice, I want you to understand what that means. The word atonement means to make amends for sin. Okay? For those of you who don't know, our God's a holy God. And back in the Old Testament times, they would have to sacrifice, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And they would take a lamb or a dove or something like that, and they would use the blood on the altar. In fact, the Jews today still celebrate Yom Kippur, which is a day of where they atonement. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Thanks. See, good job, Jay. Get an A for today, and make atonement for their sins. They'd have to do this over and over and over again. They would have to do this. But Jesus is our Lamb. So when it says an atoning sacrifice, our lives, our thoughts aren't always holy, are they? They're not always good, are they? Honestly, they're not. And I know that because mine aren't. You're a pastor. I do my best, but they're not always. I need Jesus. And you know what? He's the Lamb of God who took away my sins, past, present, and future. In fact, the Bible says, hit the light again. You know what? These lights are on. That's why.
I'm so sorry. That was us last night for the photography.
Yes. Okay, good. It's Lisa's fault. So the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 25, New Living Translation, says, for God presenteth Jesus as the sacrifice for sin, once and for all. so that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And it says people are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life shedding his blood. Wow. I think that is awesome. I hit the lights again, Chris. Thanks. He goes on and says, dear friends, and you guys remember that means beloved, verse 11. In fact, I'll even do it on a scripture picture here. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And however we do that in colorful ways. I love Charles Spurgeon. He's a famous old-timey preacher. And this is what he said. He said, if the love of God is real in your life, it will lead to real actions. Has anybody offended you? You should seek reconciliation. Oh, but I'm the offended party. This one got me. So was God. And he went straight away and sought reconciliation. Brother, do the same. Oh, but I've been insulted. So was God. All the wrong was done towards him, yet he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. Oh, but the party that I'm dealing with, they're so unworthy. You don't know them. So are you. But God loved you and sent his only begotten son. Interesting, huh? It goes on to say in verse 12 that no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. And that word is the same Greek word meno. If you've been here for other studies, it means abide or dwells freely. And his love is made complete in us. And that word is teleo. It means brought to fruition in us. So no one's ever seen God. That doesn't mean, if you read the Old Testament, Moses had to, he saw a little glimpse of God. Remember, he had a shield at the cleft of a rock. Or Isaiah, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and a train filled the temple, and the angels were covering their eyes, and they were going, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He had to fall on his face. And Jacob a little bit, you know. But it means hasn't seen him in his fullness. No one can see his fullness and live. In fact, here's the amplified version. Peggy's got me to love this. And so thank you, Peggy. No one has seen God. This is John chapter 1:18. His essence, his divine nature at any time. The one and only begotten. That is the unique Son who is in the intimate presence of the Father. He has explained him and interpreted and revealed the awesome wonder of the Father. That's Jesus has done that. He's showed us how to love one another. He took, in Jesus' time, people had stinky feet. They had dirt roads. They didn't have paved roads. And they all went to sup together. And usually the lowest person of the household would go and wash the feet of everybody before dinner. And so what Jesus did, the king, the Messiah, he took on a slave's robe and he went around. And as he started washing the disciples' feet. Now imagine that. All the disciples are going, should have been me. I should have been doing it. But I thought I was the best. I didn't want to be thought of as the lowest. But minister just means servant. Jesus in John chapter 13, verse 14 said, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I love what Dave Guzik said on this verse. He said, if we do not love one another, how can we say we have received the love from God and have been born of him? Love is the proof we are taught to look for. If you had a pipe that was clogged, water kept going into it, but never came out, that pipe would be useless. You'd rip it out and replace it. Just so, God puts his love into our lives that it might flow out. We want the Lord to clear us and fill us so that his love can flow through us. Amen? Last couple verses. Hang with me. You guys are doing great. Just think you get free pork after this. He goes on to say in verse 13, we know him and we live in him and he in us because he's given us the Spirit of God. Listen, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself testifies and confirms together with our spirit. This is in the Amplified. Thank you again, Peggy. Assuring us that we are believers, that we believers are children of God. The Holy Spirit will even testify to our own hearts about this. And then it goes on to say in verse 14, and we have seen and testify. Listen, we've seen it. And if you read the first John, the first few verses says, hey, we've seen with our own eyes. We've touched him. Our hands have handled. We've heard this word of life. And we testify to it. Look over real quickly, one chapter above in 1 John chapter 5. You see it in verse 11? Look, it says this, 1 John chapter 5, 11 and 12. And this is the testimony. This is what we're testifying about. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have eternal life. Simple as that. And it says then, back to 1 John chapter 4, verse 14, we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Verse 15 says, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. Now listen, can I just say one quick thing? It says, my translation, has it, I don't like that, if anyone acknowledges. The word in Greek is homogaleo, and it means promises, openly declare, confesses. Like if I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord and believes in his heart God raised him from dead, I will be saved. So it's more than just, there was a song, I don't know, 60s and 70s, you guys might remember it. Do, 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 do. Jesus is just all right with me. Yeah, you're starting to go, you just know it, right? Who sang that? Doobie Brothers, right? They actually, I just read they meant it as an evangelical song in their cool kind of, you know, stoner way, but they did. But you know, but it's not that Jesus is all right. He's cool. Peace out, homeboy. Word up. It's more than that. Got it? I'm confessing and professing. Does that make sense, everybody? And then it goes on to say in the last verse, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Can you hit the light for a second, Chris? Here's the question. Do you know and rely on the love God has for us? And I just want to leave you with this thought. Listen, God created us from the beginning to be with him, to walk with him, to talk with him. Listen, not just to say words to him, but to hear his voice, to obey him. It's a life-changing, revitalizing relationship. And maybe some of us don't quite know what that's like. But we were created to be with him. Our sin separates us from a holy God. Well, Pastor, I'm not a sinner. I don't sin. I'm not really a sinner. I'm not as bad as this person or that person or this. Listen, we're all going to have to stand before God on Judgment Day. If we just take the Ten Commandments, don't judge by this or that. Listen, the Bible, he says, starts off, you shall have no other God before me. Do you put him first every time in your whole life, your business, your marriage, everything? No, you don't? You haven't? Well, that's an idol. You've put an idol before him. Listen, have you ever told a lie? I'm guessing you have. You know why? I have. I was like a king of liars or a prince of liars. You know, if you tell somebody who lies, you call them a liar. And it says that liars will be thrown in the lake of fire. Have you ever stolen anything? Right? What does that make you? It makes you a thief. Okay, well, I didn't think of it that way. Have you ever stolen your boss's time? Oh, you got me with that one, yeah. Jesus said, you know, have you ever looked at another person with lust? Oh, you got me there. You know what? The Bible says, you know what? If you're looking at another person, you've already committed adultery in your heart. You ever taken the Lord's name in vain? Jesus Christ, the name above all names, and you've used it to say poop. He gives you life and breath. You wouldn't even be alive without him. The whole world, it says, is held together by him in Colossians. And you use his name, the only name to be saved, to express your disgust. That's sin. He won't hold them guiltless who use his name in vain, the Bible says. I don't say that to condemn you. I just said if you don't think you're a sinner, you have to realize we've only gone through a few commandments, and you're already a lying, thieving, idolater, lustful. You get the idea, blasphemer at heart, and God's going to have to judge you on God's judgment day. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. The good news is, even though our sins can't be removed by good works because there's just not enough good works we could ever do, God paid the price for us through Jesus Christ. He died and he rose again so that anyone who would choose to just believe in him and receive God's free gift could be born again. For you don't have to clean yourself up to come to Jesus. You just cry out, save me, Lord. I am a sinner. And you know what? Everyone who trusts in him alone, by faith, will have eternal life. And life with Jesus starts right now, right second, when you ask, when you cry out to him in your heart, and it lasts forever. So I'm asking the people at home, and I'm asking you here, just close your eyes with me for a second, okay? Just bow your heads, close your eyes. I just want you to take 30 seconds, and if you've not done that, I just want you to confess to God that you are a sinner. Just confess to him in your own heart, in your own way, that you didn't realize it, that you were that guilty. And we haven't even gone through the rest of the commandments yet. Just thank him for that. He loves you that much and he wants to save you. And if you want to give your heart and your life to Jesus, just do that and say, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and my life and clean me up from the inside out. Just ask him that. In your own words, there's no magical formula. It just has to be from you to him. Tell him that you know that he died on the cross for your sins and that he rose again from the dead so that I could have eternal life. And I want that life, Lord. I'm stuck in my sin. I can't get out. And you ask him, you cry out to your daddy, and you say, Daddy, I don't know much here. I don't know all about this Jesus stuff and all about this Bible stuff, but I know I need to be saved. And you cry out in your heart, and you say, Jesus, will you save me? Please, Jesus, save me. And help me to live the rest of my life for you. And if you'll do that, your precious Heavenly Father will give you, if you cry out to him now, he'll give you the gift of eternal life. Right here, right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we ask, just like those lights come on, in the name of Jesus Christ, if you've done that today, we ask that you would at some point grab me or grab Pastor Gary or someone that you trust and say, I made that commitment in my heart. And just like that light went on right at that point and it wasn't planned, God's going to give you a new light in your life. And you're going to walk out of that darkness and you're going to start heading in a new direction. That doesn't mean you're going to do everything right, but you're going to start heading in that direction. And Lord, if anyone has done that here today, I pray in Jesus' name that you would seal them until the day of redemption and that they would turn, as they turn from their sin and turn to you, you would help them to live a brand new life and allow us to be involved in that, Lord God, and teach them how to walk with you, Lord. Not about church, not about home fellowship, not about Pastor Darren. It's about you, Jesus. So Lord, bless each person here. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all the people that are cooking out there for the bounce houses and all the stuff, everybody you brought sides. Lord, I pray as we go out today, we thank you for this food. We thank you for this fellowship. More importantly, we thank you for your love for us and your salvation through your son, Jesus Christ. Bless our time afterwards. Bless our time as we leave this place and go on this week and the Bible studies that happen. And Lord, let us and help us to walk with you and that love flow out of us to honor you every day. And all God's people together said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.